Good morning.
It's going to be a warm day today. You're going to be glad you came to first service because in second service, we're all going to be sweating. I want to welcome you this morning, and I hope that you're excited to be here. And I just want to begin my message by saying to you, He is risen.
He is risen
indeed. Amen. Man, doesn't that's exciting. I'm so thankful for what Jesus did. And wasn't it great last night to see how God protected the people of Israel? Wasn't that awesome? We are so thankful for God, and we continue to pray for them. Now, you remember last week, we had an incredible speaker, Dr. James Brian Smith. Some of you probably have read his books. I want you to know that he's going to be coming back several times in the next year. We've talked, and he's going to continue to talk to us about spiritual formation. But how did you do in his challenge? Now, don't look at me like, what challenge? Remember, he talked about how it is that we can demonstrate Jesus Christ in our lives. And he talked about, well, there's the novice way, and then there's the intermediate way, and then there's the advanced way. Do you remember the advanced way? Some of the things that he said that we should do, one of them was you should turn social media off for a month. All right, now I just wanted you to listen to something. Last week, when I was sitting in my seat listening to that, I heard somebody behind me say, that's not happening. So I decided that I was going to put it into motion, okay? And so here it is. I'm 3/4 mile away from the checkout center. And look at the smile that I have on my face. If you believe that, I've got some swampland in Florida I'd like to sell you. Just kidding. Now, in all seriousness, the thing that I just want to remind you of this is that we come to church to be transformed and changed, right? And the way that happens is only from the inside out. And so this week, we're beginning a brand new series, and this series is going to take us all the way up to the 4th of July celebration. But I wanted to tell you, I am so excited about this series because we're going to be in the book of Acts, and we're going to talk about the gospel in action. And when we talk about the gospel of the action, what I mean is this, it's the power of the gospel in action, and it is unstoppable. Now, here's what I want you to understand about this, and I want you to hear this loud and clear. We're in a refresh type of stage in our lives. We've refreshed by going through the campaign, and we're going to be sharing with you in the upcoming weeks about what it is that we're getting ready to do. There's a lot of work going behind the scenes, but before we get started, we're going to talk to you about that. We've also talked about how we can be refreshed in our own lives, but what we're going to focus on now is this. How can we be refreshed as a church? We cannot stay the same. We need to be changed, and in fact, our community, our nation, and the world is depending on us being different. And so when I talk about the church, I'm talking about you, and I'm talking about me. And so my prayer today for my life, and I hope it's your prayer for your life today, and that's this, God, change my heart. So when you hear the word unstoppable, what are some things that come to your mind? If you look at the synonyms for the word unstoppable, you'll see words like insurmountable or bulletproof or, you know, something that just can't be stopped. It's just powerful. Maybe some of the things that come to your mind would be like a tornado or maybe a tsunami wave. Those are the things maybe because they're so powerful and they're so big and we think about them, man, nothing could stand against them. Well, let me give you a couple examples here. Did you know that the Roman Empire one time was thought to be unstoppable? If you read history about the Roman Empire, they were so powerful that the world believed that they were going to be a world empire forever. Their fighting techniques, their generals, their leadership, even their fighting utensils, the weapons they had were so far advanced that a lot of times when they would come up against a country and declare war against them, they would immediately send out negotiation teams to negotiate peace with them because they knew that they would be annihilated if they didn't negotiate with them. But as unstoppable as the Roman Empire seemed, you know what was their downfall? Inner strife. Greed and selfishness is what ended up taking this great empire down. Or how about this? You know what this is, don't you? The Titanic. A lot of people thought the Titanic was unstoppable. In fact, they declared it was unsinkable. Remember? Do you remember what the captain proclaimed? Not even God could sink this ship. 4 days into its maiden voyage, it hit an iceberg, and over 1,500 people lost their lives. Is there anything truly, my friends, that is unstoppable? And I would say to you, yes, indeed. And you know what it is? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. It had began in the beginning, and it continues now. And here's the thing that excites me more than anything. What is God's choice of vehicle for his gospel? It's you and me. It's the church. May we begin now to become the church that God wants us to be. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Stand with me out of respect for God's word. As I read from Acts chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times and dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This is God's word for God's people. Let's pray together. Father, the baton has been given to me, to us. We have been found faithful. Now, Lord, help us to pass the baton to the next generation. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So I want to encourage you over these next few weeks, these next couple months, to bring your Bible, okay? How many of you have Bibles at home? Ah, caught you. They're not supposed to be at home. They're supposed to be here. Now, I know sometimes we use our phones and things like that, but I want to encourage you to bring your Bibles because there is so much in this book that I want us to learn so that we can truly be transformed. The first thing is that if you have your Bible and you will open your Bible up to Acts chapter 1, one of the things that you may see at the top of Acts chapter 1 is a subtitle. Now, I want you to know that in those days when they wrote the Bible, they didn't have subtitles. They didn't even have chapters. That came later on. But man has put in subtitles, and maybe your subtitle says this: "The Acts of the Apostles." That's what it said in my Bible. And what I did, after reading through this book, I didn't cross out what they had written there, but I wrote up there my own subtitle. And the subtitle that I wrote was this: The Acts of the Holy Spirit Through the Apostles. I want to make sure that we understand something. There's nothing that we can do on our own. This means yes, right? There's nothing we can do on our own. The only thing that we can do is what we can do through the power of the Holy Spirit. And everything that we're going to see in the book of Acts is all about what God did through His Spirit in the lives of people who were willing to be used by the Holy Spirit. And I want to remind you, we have a choice. Not everybody gets used. And we're going to find out, how do we get used? How do we hear from the Holy Spirit? How does that same Holy Spirit that lived in Jesus, and as we watch the way He lived His life, how do we get that same Holy Spirit to work in our lives? Because we can do it. Now, there's a few things about the book of Acts that I want you to understand, just some historical backgrounds that will help you kind of put everything together as we talk about this. If you go all the way back to the Gospels, and you read at the end of the Gospels, and you may ask yourself the question, okay, so what happened at the end of the Gospels? And the summary would be like this. We have a group of people, a group of Jews, they're gathered together in an upper room in Jerusalem, and they're having a discussion about the kingdom of God when it's coming to Israel, okay? The kingdom that's coming to Israel. Now, if you go over Acts and you go to the book of Romans, what do you have there? Well, first of all, we have the writings of a man who is called an apostle. His name is Paul, that we have never heard of, and he's never mentioned in any of the Gospels. And what he's doing in Romans is he is writing a letter about the human condition. And what is the human condition? Sin. And he's giving us what is God's solution to that human condition. Now, the book of Acts is the book that connects the Gospels with all of the epistles. And the word epistle means letters. So the book of Acts tells us how we got to from when Jesus rose from the dead to where the church began to grow, and Paul is writing letters to all of these people. Are we all on the same page so far? Here's the next thing I want you to understand. The book of Acts covers only about 30 years. Get out. It does. From the time that Jesus was raised from the dead, about 30 years, and we see a bunch of miracles, but all of these miracles happen over a period of 30 years. One last thing. The book of Acts is written by the same individual who wrote the Gospel of Luke. You know who that is? Very good. Wow, you're smart this morning. You are wide awake, okay? So Luke, the gospel writer of Luke, and I want to remind you of something. Luke was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. But he was also called what? He was a physician, right? Colossians chapter 4 tells us that Luke was a physician. So the book of Luke, the gospel of Luke, is volume 1. Acts is volume 2. All right. Now that we're all on the same page, let's go in to the book of Acts and let's start with verse 1, okay? Here we go. In my former book, okay, there's Luke talking. He's talking about the Gospel of Luke. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. All right, now I don't know about you, but right away we have a problem here, don't we? And the problem is, who in the world is Theophilus? Now, there have been some controversy about who people think Theophilus was, but the name Theophilus means lover of God. So there are some people that have always believed that this is a book that is written to anybody who is a lover of God. I'm not sure I agree with that, and I'll show you why in just a minute. But Theophilus, we're introduced to this man, this lover of God. But I want to remind you, this is not the first time that we've seen his name. Let me show you where else we've seen it. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us. just as they were handed down to us by those who were from the first, were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Where have we seen that name before? There it is. In volume 1, the Gospel of Luke. So this is not the first time in Acts that we're introduced to this man. And what I want to show you about that is that if you look at that, have you noticed how it is that Luke addresses him? Here he just doesn't call him Theophilus, he calls him most excellent Theophilus. Now, I don't know about you, but boing, something goes up, an antenna that goes up in my mind, because I've heard Luke use those words, most excellent, before. You remember when he used them? It's in the book of Acts, towards the end, when Paul is on trial. Look at what he says in Acts 24 and Acts 26. Everywhere and in every way, most excellent Felix, we acknowledge this with profound gratitude. Then in Acts 26, we see, I am not insane. There it is, most excellent Festus, Paul replied. What I'm saying is true and reasonable. All right. That word, most excellence, means, and it is, a name of prominence. Festus and Felix were both leaders in government. So from that, we can deduce that Theophilus has some type of excellency in him because he is a person of a prominent position. Now, let me tell you why that's important. In those days when Jesus walked on the earth, many times the physicians were slaves. And what I mean by that is that they were very educated people, but people of prominence many times had personal physicians. Luke was a personal physician to this man by the name of Theophilus. Now, I want to show you something that happens, and I didn't put it on the board because I want you to bring your Bibles next time so that you have to look up things like I have to. And I want to show you something that I find really interesting. At some point in time, Theophilus releases Luke so that Luke can do what God had ordained for him to do. And if you look in Acts chapter 16, you can write this down and you can go back and you can see it a little bit later. But in Acts chapter 16, there's a story about a man who has a vision of a man who is in Macedonia, and he tells Paul to come to him in that vision. Something happens in chapter 16 that we need to be aware of regarding Luke. Luke is writing this book in Acts, right? And up until this point, and I'm going to use verse 7 as an example, this is what Luke writes. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Now, in verse 11 of that same chapter, everything changes. Listen to what it says. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. You see, what happens at this point in time is now the writer of the book of Acts now travels with Paul. And everything from there on is a first-hand eyewitness account. Okay? All right, now, I want to do one last thing. And if we go back to verse 1, listen to these words. It says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus, and I would circle that word began. And the reason that I would circle that word began is because this is the work that Jesus is the one who began it.
And the work that he began is the gospel. It's the good news. Now listen very carefully. The finished work of Jesus happened on the cross, but the unfinished work of Jesus continues even today. The book of Acts is still being written. Praise God for that, right? And now it's come to us. Our living right now, this is our writing in the gospel or in the book of Acts, what continues to happen to the church. Now, my friends, I just want to remind you again, we do not do this through our own power. This is all done through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what makes this happen. And without the Holy Spirit, we cannot accomplish anything. Would you agree? All right, now let's get into the book and let's see what's going on here. In verse 3, we read, after his suffering, he's talking about Jesus' death on the cross, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Okay, so what's happening here? Here Luke wants all of us to know is this. After Jesus rose from the dead, he spent considerable amount of time appearing to the disciples. Why? The Bible tells us to give them convincing proof. Oh, I love my Lord. Convincing proof. In other words, that there would be no shadow of a doubt, not the least bit doubt, that he was in fact alive. Now, if these men are going to be his witnesses, that's a pretty important detail, isn't it? He wanted to make sure that they didn't forget, that they had convincing proof. So how did he do that? He did it with their senses. They saw him, right? They heard him. They touched him. And they even ate with him. So you could say that they even tasted the Lord Jesus. And he did all of that so that every single one of them would know he is indeed alive. Now, John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, he talks about this same thing. And I want you to hear what he says about what the disciples witnessed after Jesus was resurrected. Are you ready? Okay, wake up, everybody. Wake up. All right, here we go. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. On more occasion than one, we have the disciples say, oh, we know that Jesus is alive. Because we saw him, we heard him, we touched him. There was never any doubt. All right, now, the second thing that we just learned in verse 3 is this. The subject never changed. And what I mean by that is that what is Jesus teaching? He's teaching the same thing he taught when he was with them before his crucifixion. And what was that subject? The kingdom of God. Now, what I want us to know is that now on the other side of the resurrection, when we talk about that kingdom agenda, what is he talking about? And here's what it is. We define it as the visible manifestation of the comprehensive rule of God in every area of life. The visible manifestation. In other words, when we talk about the kingdom of God, we're talking about the presence of the kingdom of God for us, the Holy Spirit, in our lives. Your actions should speak so loud that I can't hear a word that you're saying. That's what it means. It means that everything you do in life, you first check with the Holy Spirit, and then you go about what God has given you to do. Now, I want to remind you about this. That means, if that's the definition, then the responsibility of the church is to serve King Jesus and his kingdom. Amen. If we're all on the same page with that, now we can go on. Because remember, from the time Jesus resurrected until the time he ascended was 40 days. The Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. That word, Pentecost, means 50. So 50 days from the time that Jesus resurrected, the Holy Spirit was given to them. So from the time when Jesus ascended and the time that the Holy Spirit showed up is 10 days. All right, now, let's go on. Acts 1, 4, and 5. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Now, I don't know about you, but this is a letter to Bob. And what I mean by that is that the disciples are foaming at the mouth. They know Jesus is alive. They've touched him. They've embraced him. They've talked with him. They've heard him. They've seen him. They know he's alive. What do you think they want to do? They want to go tell somebody about it. And what does Jesus do? He gives them this command: wait. So it's like he said, on your mark, get set, wait. Now, I don't know about you, but I think there's a great teaching point in here, and I can say this because I've experienced in my life. Have you ever run ahead of God? Oh, I have. You see, I get so excited, and I can remember my mom or dad giving me something that they want me to do, and I take off getting ready to do it, and they said, wait a minute, come back here. You didn't hear everything I told you. And that's how sometimes I've lived my life with the Lord. And you know what? Whenever I take off before he tells me to take off, I always come back on my knees. Funny thing. And I always have to admit, Lord, I owe an apology. I ran off ahead of you. Because when you run off ahead of God, here's what it means. It means you believe you can do it in your own power. And my friends, what Jesus is saying to his disciples is this: the job that I have for you is so big, you can't do it on your own. You may have a little success for a little bit of time, but why would you go for just a little bit of success that if you wait for the power of the Holy Spirit and that Holy Spirit is indwelling and infusing and empowering through you, you will change the world. That's what Jesus is saying, and that's the message that he's saying to us. He's saying, Central Community Church, I have a job for you. There's a reason why you are a large congregation. And the work that I have for you, you cannot do on your own. The only way you can do it is through the power of the Holy Spirit. But we know that, don't we? With what we just went through in this campaign, I will say one of the things I'm most proudest about of you is this: you waited. You waited on God. We went through that devotion and that prayer time together, and after that was done, then we brought what our commitments were to the Lord, and look what God did. Here's what we learned: unity always brings about momentum. That's why it's powerful when we're all in the Word together, the same Word together. That's why when we are doing our small groups and we're doing them with the sermon series, it's powerful because we're doing it together. All right, now, I want to go back to the Old Testament because a lot of people think, well, the Holy Spirit isn't mentioned in the Old Testament. No, that's not true. Take a look at this. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. This is where the Old Testament is talking about the Spirit of God that is about to come. All right, watch this. We're almost done. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. When you read this verse, you can see that the disciples are focused on one thing: results. Guilty. And Jesus wants them to be focused on the call. If you focus on the call, guess what? The results are going to come. And so the book of Acts is the outline of the call. Watch this. Chapters 1 through 7 are Jerusalem. Chapters 8 and 9 are Judea and Samaria. Chapters 10 through 28 are the ends of the earth. So what did Jesus tell them? Remember what he said? He said, and you will be my witnesses, and you will go into all. You will go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. Okay? Now, that's the where, but what's the call? And what did he say? You will be my what? Witnesses. You see, that's the call that we have, my friends. All God has asked us to do is to be his witnesses. Just tell others what God has done in your life. Now, I know some of you are thinking like me, well, if I'd have seen some of the things that Jesus showed those disciples, I'd be a lot better witness. And the Lord would say to you, no, that's not true. Because I've given you your story so that when those people that I've already ordained to cross your path, when they cross your path, yours is the only story that they'll be able to relate with. The other day I was in the gym, and one of our members, in fact, he's here this morning, he came up to me and said, hey, Pastor Bob, I want to tell you a story. And I said, great. And so he started telling me about the story about his experience through the Refresh. He talked about how he had made a commitment, and the commitment that he had made, he wasn't going to be able to do on his own unless God showed up. And then he said to me, but then God showed me something. He said, a while back, about 5 or 6 years ago, I had done some work for a gentleman, and he only paid us for part of the time. Haven't heard from him. We believed in what he was doing, but you know what? We just never got paid. Well, a little bit later, there were a group of people that went after this guy to get the monies that they had made, and guess what happened? After he had this commitment, guess what happened? He got a phone call, and he received the money for that time when he didn't work. Now, here's what I want to say to you. I don't know about you, but when I walked away from that, I had tears in my eyes. You know why? Number one, I could see the excitement in his face because his God had showed up. But also I went away in tears because God in my life reminded me and encouraged me. I am at work. My dear friends in Christ, all I want you to know is this. The Holy Spirit is powerful. The Holy Spirit that we have is the same Holy Spirit that the Lord Jesus Christ had. So the question I think that I hope you're asking is this, is, well, how come I can't do some of the things that Jesus did? And here's the answer to that question. Because if you ain't walking, he ain't talking. Okay? If you ain't walking, he ain't talking. I'm going to tell you, the Godhead can be offended, and they support each other. The Father sent the Son. The Son is the Word. The Holy Spirit always points everything back to whom? Jesus. And if you're not living your life according to the Word, you're not going to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. You see, that's the part where we need help, and our prayer every day ought to be this: God, I have my life, and this is my kingdom, and I'm used to sitting on the throne. I'm getting off the throne, and I'm giving it to you. And during this day, I'm going to walk with you. And before I do or even say anything, I'm going to check with you first. And you watch and see the difference that it will make, beginning as you spend time in God's Word and you hear from His Word. And that will change your life. The quickest way for God to get you where He wants you is for Him to be able to use you where He has you. I hear so many people who tell me, Pastor Bob, I want to be used by God. Why does God have me here? What is God's plans for me in the future? And here's the answer to that question. This is the answer for Central Community Church. I've gifted you. Just let me use you where you are planted. And your goal should simply be this: Lord, help me bloom where I'm planted. And as you bloom where you are planted, then he will begin to use you in ways you never thought possible. And so I want to close with this. I wonder how it is or where it is that God wants to use you. And some of you may be thinking, how could God ever use me? You need to understand that's the voice of the devil. Ask God. Open your heart to his leading and say, Lord, here I am. I am yours. Use me as you see fit. I will promise you one thing. I will get off the throne and I will simply listen to you. And my friends, I will tell you my own life's experience. God could take you places that you never in your wildest dreams ever thought you could go. Can you imagine what would happen to our Jerusalem if we all thought like that? May we start thinking like that today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Would you please stand? This is how it starts. We get the power from the power source. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace, his joy, and his strength. Now, go and serve him in the world. God bless you. We'll see you next week.